God bless you. We're so glad to be with you again here from Gospel for the Glory of Jesus with Melvin Slade. I am Bishop George A. Todd Jr. here at Agape Community Church in Lancaster, California. I'm so glad to be here with you. I want you to know that I'm just so happy to be able to bring you a message, I hope from the Lord, and that is timely. So I don't really prepare like a series of study. I try to agonize and make sure that I'm reading from the Word, giving the right kind of medicine at the right time, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Might be someone out there that might need what we're going to talk about today. And today we just want to talk about a little bit about your heart condition. I'm not talking about your cardio. Everybody's into exercise and going to the gym and trying to get cute. I mean, shapely and all that good stuff. And it's good for the body. The Bible talks about exercise. It's good. But it's better to exercise our spirits. It's time to exercise our character. And so today we want to see exactly, hopefully, from the Word, what is your heart condition? So before we start, let's pray. Lord, bless us, please. Amen. All right, God bless you. We are going to be coming from Matthew, if you're going to have your Bible with you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, and jumping around probably a little bit. But one of the problems I see today, that even the condition of the church is, it's like I said, in the last days, is a can be a little bit cold-hearted. You know, it's almost as if the church has turned into a graveyard instead of being a community spiritual hospital. You go into some churches and you feel like, you know, they need to take its temperature to see if it's still alive. So we never want that to happen here at Agape. So we want to make sure that Jesus Christ is in charge and the Holy Spirit is the chief administrator until he returns. So I hope that you'll be willing to just go with me a little bit. We're here in, on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to be reading from the Good News today, not the Message. But I've got my King Jimmy, New King Jimmy here with me, just to make sure that if you have any questions or problems with it, I can read from that also. But starting Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at the condition of the heart as Christ, being the chief physician, is able to look at us and determine our condition. And you see it all through the Word. You see it from the Old Testament all the way through to Revelation, that he knows how to diagnose his children. He knows and us better than we know ourselves in a deeper way. He knows us, our superficialities. He knows even the externals. He knows our psyche, our mind, how we, our personalities. And he wants us to know who we are too. First of all, you need to know you're a sinner, that you are in a condition, a state of degeneration, and you need to be saved, is what we call it. And the Bible says you need to be born again. You need to be born again spiritually. Yes, you've been born physically, but you need to have a new birth through God himself. And he's the only one who can bring that about. And the only way it can happen for him is when we open the door of our heart and let in his truth. So I hope, and if his truth penetrates our hearts, it will change its condition. So that's the first preamble to understanding and knowing our heart condition, is whether you are saved or not. And if you're at home now and you're not feeling well, or if you're sick and you listen to the program, this is who we really were aiming at. Folks who can't get to church, can't get to church. But if you can get to church, you need to beat feet and get to somebody's gospel church where they're preaching the Word of God. But one of the things why a lot of people stay away from church is because can't nobody hurt you like church folk. You got hurt by a church. It makes you just want to say, forget about it. I can be in the world and be hurt by people. I can go to work and get hurt by folk. Oh, I can call my little cousin JoJo and let him talk about me. He plays a dozen. But anyway, and that's why we're saying the conditions. We all have to be able to determine the condition even of the church's heart. See, churches have a heart, and you have a heart. you have spiritual ears, you have a spiritual heart, you have spiritual eyes, all things, and you have a spiritual man or woman living inside of you. So you need to make sure you understand what your spiritual heart is, condition is. So here's the Lord talking to us. I'm going to read through the good news because, as I said, this is I'm not sermonizing. I'm just trying to reach you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to reach you. I'm not trying to preach to you. Hey, but I could. But anyway, no, it's okay. But y'all look over old Pastor Todd. He needs a little prayer sometime. Okay, Matthew 5:1 says, Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Now, the King James says it a bit differently, and you can read about this in Luke also, Luke chapter 6. But here he says, okay, number one, about the condition of your heart. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. You know, first thing God wants you to know that there are some of us who are, and this thing, when it says poor, it can sometimes mean, it can be taken in two ways. It can be you're spiritually depleted because you've been serving the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and you just got burnt out, or maybe what we call drained out. You just drained out of all your spirit, and people got on your last nerve, and or you miss church a little while, you get a new job, and you can't go to church, and next thing you know, you're spiritually poor. Well, the Lord knows and understands that. He's always looking to try to refill you. But there are some who are spiritually poor because they don't have. God inside of them. And when God is not in you, you are spiritually empty. So, of his truth. You might have the world in you. You might have the devil in you. You might have just be filled up with who you think you are. You might be worshiping yourself and taking commands from your body and your flesh. And the flesh is all about keeping the self serve first. So you want to make sure that you understand that there's a lot of conditions that can cause you to be spiritually poor. Verse 2 says, happy are those who mourn God. Who mourn. God will comfort them. Sometimes, you know, and let's go back to verse 3 a little bit. It says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. You know that you've been serving the Lord with all you got, and you know that God is going to refill you too. He's going to change your condition. But you know, sometimes you've got to wait on the Lord to take you from sad to glad. And waiting on the Lord means serving him, just like being a waiter. You know, you got to serve him. Continue to serve him even when things don't seem like they're going your way. Your circumstances is like from Latin, I think, circum. What's happening around you seems to be so terrible and insane and crazy. And you're a Christian and you're saying, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Lord Jesus, why are you letting me lose my job? Lord, why are you letting my husband leave? Lord, why my kids are crazy? Well, the Lord didn't tell you to marry that man, and he didn't tell you to get that job. But anyway, even with those circumstances, God has something for you, a message to you, a lesson to be taught. He wants you to gain patience and strength just from going through and waiting on him to change your heart condition from sad to glad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes in the morning, as the Bible says. You might have been crying all night, but in the morning you realize that, hey, you got a whole new day, and God's going to bless you that day too. And we got to take it like that old TV show, one day at a time. Mm-hmm. One day at a time. So if you're being feeling sappy and unhappy about the future, then forget about it, because you don't know the future. Your future is in your present. And you sure better stop looking at the past. Ain't a thing you can do about it. I wish I had one of those time machines that I could get from H.G. Wells and go back and fix a whole lot of mess that I messed up on. But I can't do it, because I wouldn't be able to afford the time machine, because all y'all being went down and bought the only one there. So we're going to go. Y'all pray for me, okay? Because I'm definitely praying for you all, or y'all. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Yeah, when you're going through a time of sadness, and the Lord wants you to know He's with you. Also, happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Humility is something that God says. When you are humble, when you put yourself last in regards to who you're going to serve first, serve God first is what He's saying. Serve your neighbors second. And you don't have to worry about yourself because, see, God's going to take care of you when you're humble. And if you're saying you're humble, then you better find out and realize you're not humble. Anybody says they're humble, they're not humble. humility is like a watermelon seed. As soon as you think you got it, try to pick it up, oop, it squirts out of your hand. So don't look at yourself as being humble. Seek yourself as one who is that loves the Lord and is trying to serve Him. Because humble people don't even think that anybody's talking about them or abusing them or hurting them or anything like that. They are always asking themselves, is it my fault? Am I the wrong reason why there's a problem? Let me make sure that it's not me. So that's another heart condition you need to make sure you have a humble heart. Six, happy are those who whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. And this is one that deals with salt and light. I think that that's a good one to go to salt and light on. You know, when we get saved, we are always, as soon as I got saved, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then when He told me what He wanted to do, I said, oh, no, that's not what I want to do. Yeah, I want you to preach. No, it's okay. I don't want to do that. So that was a messed up situation for a long time. But if your heart gets the right condition, He'll convince you that His will is better than your will. And He's got a greater dream for you than you got for yourself. I'm so glad God allowed me to realize that before it was eternally too late. But when you're salt, it means you got a kind of a salty spirit. You're not like gypsum. You're not a faker. You're not a hypocrite. But that you are out there having an impact on the world. You know, really, to know salt, sometimes you got to taste it. And it makes everything else, like, you know, we're Christians, we'll be the salt on the world's popcorn, you know. We're supposed to make everything a little bit more acceptable or edible because we are in the world. We're supposed to, salt was a preservative, and it was just almost as precious as gold. It was traded, they traded with salt. So salt was a very important commodity. So salty Christians are very important as they have an impact on the world, even in regards to helping the world to be able to go through different situations and problems. When those folk got killed in South Carolina, one thing that all those folk who were there in that church said, we forgive him. You know, that really affected the whole world. When they just came right out and said, we forgive you for what you did to our pastor. We forgive you for coming into our church and doing what you did, young man. And that's only God. That's when you get into being a light. And light, what they did was they reflected the light from the Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. I know people now are talking about they are the light, be the light, and all that, but we are not the light. The light is the source of life. Without the sun, we could not exist. And without the sun, S-O-N, we could not exist. So we need Christ. We need the light. And one thing about light is that for us is that we're supposed to be like a mirror. Well, as the more we get closer to the Lord, the more we're able to walk and get closer to Him, the more light we can reflect on others. We can show His true light, His beauty, His truth, His hope, by reflecting Him through our words and the way we talk to people. See, a lot of people know you're a cold-hearted sucker. I mean, a person, when you talk crazy, you know, when you talk harsh and talk mean to people, that shows your heart is mean. You got a mean-hearted heart. Your words tell you and show you just exactly who you are. So we want to make sure that we as little baby lambs who are growing up to be rams, and I'm not talking about the L.A. Rams. We're growing up to become people of God by not saying, hey, we got to depend on ourselves for our source, but that we depend on Christ to fill us each and every day with His light. Like a lamp. A lamp is a controlled light. It's, you know, you can use, you can hurt people with light because it can become very intense. So we have to know who we're dealing with when we're dealing with, when we are as Christians. We can't come on with someone who doesn't know the Lord with a 200 watt bulb light. We have to come in there real slowly and shade some of our light, some of our intensity, and kind of bring them to Christ. And there's some Christians that need the light shown on them because they're doing some stuff in the dark they should not be doing. So we sometimes have to tell the truth. And that's what the light is. It's telling the truth in a way that people can receive it. Salting it for taste, is what it says in Colossians. So light can be intense. I saw when I first saw a James Bond movie, which I love James Bond movies because it's always good over evil, even though he kind of bad himself. But anyway, Goldfinger was cutting a block of gold with a laser, industrial laser, and it was so intense it just burned right through it like it was butter. And he was about to kill James Bond with it, and James Bond said something crazy. Old Goldfinger to cut that laser off. But sometimes we can become so intense as Christians, you know, looking like we're so, like we are the light, that we scare Christians, scare people away, and that's not good. That's not good at all. Laser, sometimes we come across as a laser. We shouldn't do that. We have to shade ourselves sometimes. And we just thank God that he knows that the word, sometimes the word used wrongly when it comes from my mouth can hurt people, but it also can sometimes be the antidote that people need for that snake bite that Satan has done to them. So I want to get along and say a couple of things here just to let you know. What's your heart condition? Number one, is your heart, are you a proactive Christian? Are you someone who's out there trying to bring people to Christ by being loving, kind, considerate, compassionate, and speaking the truth with love? Or are you a covert Christian? Are you like salt sometimes? You're waiting patiently and quietly for your opportunity to speak, to reach somebody for God. You know, you might have that kind of personality where you're scared to reach out, but you do it maybe through a gospel track or through giving somebody some music or going to someone's funeral, to a friend at your job, and you're not even friends. It might be your enemy that you treat with kindness during a time of sorrow. Those are opportune times to be, as a covert Christian, that you can come alive and show people exactly who you are. Or are you an inactive, and I call them apathetic Christian? Are you apathetic? You just don't give a rat's patootie about anybody, anything, except you and yours and me and mine. Your prayers reflect it. And every time you pray, it's all about you and your blessings. And Lord, bless me with more blessings and blessings and blessings. And you ain't, you know, and you don't, you're not going through any testings because you're myopic and only looking at you. So you be the one to evaluate your condition. I'm not your doctor, but Christ is, and he wants you to know he is the great physician and the lover of our soul. So let the word, you need to embrace the word. Let it become necessary that you read it every day so that you can be a reflection of him and speak his truth. Now, sometimes the word causes pain and correction, but that helps us not to be just feel-good Christians. Always need to be encouraged all the time. We need to become encouragers. So I want to thank you for listening to me today, and I pray that God will use you to help bring others to Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you're doing. Be with us now. May this message touch someone's heart and change its condition. Help them become salt and light. Help them, Lord, become more intense. But, Lord, don't let them burn anybody with their intensity. And we thank you for what you're going to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.